As she stepped into the empty lobby, once again she considered how strange all of this was. Her heels clicked on the marble floor, echoing and emphasizing how deserted the place was. Not surprising for 6:30 p.m. on a Friday. The heels were nice, black, and professional, but also just slutty enough to meet the requirements of the email she had received. The message itself was quite professional, certainly not mentioning anything about slutty attire, but it was very specific about the dress code. She remembered it clearly. "Your qualifications and exceptional psychological test results have led us to skip the phone review and proceed to an in-person interview. Please follow the below instructions precisely. Failure to do so will lead to your rejection as a candidate. The interview will be at our corporate headquarters, address listed in my email signature. Go through the lobby, take the elevator to the 10th floor, and wait in the small reception area. There will be no one to greet you. Be there promptly at 6:35. The dress code requires that you wear a sheath or otherwise body-constricting dress. Black recommended, but not required. Your lipstick must be bright red and your eyeshadow smoky and dark. Wear heels of more than 2 inches. Your hair must be done up in a bun or similar. Wear black stockings and other required clothing to impress." That last sentence bothered her more than anything else. Other required clothing. It was quite warm and pleasant out. No coat needed. The only clothing required to go with her dress was... No, it was best not to think of it. The idea was absurd. This was a huge company, well known and respected. The office itself was downtown, in an upscale part of the commercial district. There was no possibility of anything shady. The requirements were probably there because people today generally just dressed too casually for high-powered meetings, or to test how detail-oriented she was. She knew from experience that attention to the little things was critical both as an executive assistant and a project lead. She put such concerns out of her mind, put on her game face, and got on the elevator. It was smooth, nearly silent, and too fast. She stepped out and found herself in a small room that, again, surprised her. It didn't belong here. Not that it was ugly or inappropriate, not really. It just wasn't correct for a corporate building. It belonged more in a Victorian-era mansion. The carpeting was deep red and incredibly soft. The walls were paneled oak, and the ceiling barely visible in the shadows cast by the vintage ceiling chandelier. There was a desk directly in front of her. Empty. It appeared to be mahogany, and an antique, or a good replica. Directly behind it was a door. She sighed, and sat in one of the red leather chairs facing the desk. She checked her watch and smiled. 6:35 on the dot. The only thing to do now was wait. She considered getting her phone out, but decided against it. It wasn't forbidden, not precisely, but she wanted to look ready. She rehearsed the facts of her resume that, of course, she knew by heart, and the achievements that she wanted to highlight. At a place like this, she expected a behavioral interview, and those could be brutal on the questions. To be truthful, she liked it when they were. As she sat, the door bothered her more and more. She couldn't place why at first. It was oak, and matched the walls. It wasn't gaudy or large. Then she realized that it was its position that was strange. It was directly behind the desk, not off to one side. If it opened, the occupant of the office would be entirely out of sight to the receptionist. If the door were relatively quiet, the carpet would hide any footsteps. Someone could stand there, observing silently, watching the, presumably, woman work. Sneaking up on her even, reaching out for her shoulders and... She gasped when the door opened, startling her from... What? A fear-driven scenario of inappropriate office behavior? Or was it fear, really? She shook such thoughts from her mind and took in the man in front of her. He, too, was dressed extremely well. He was tall, and perhaps in his late 40s. The tastefully cut gray suit was well-tailored enough to show that he was in decent shape, his muscles pulling a bit. Nothing really wrong with it, but it was the sort of thing that she noticed. His hair was gray at the temples, but still dark brown above. Apparently, he wasn't particularly vain or concerned with signs of aging. His eyes, though, they were intense. Brown again, but with the focus of a bird of prey. They complemented his somewhat hard features. Thankfully, they softened as he smiled genuinely. "Come in. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. I was caught up in a small matter and let myself forget the time." He turned and walked back into the office, not waiting for her. She stood and hurried after him. "Close the door behind you," he said as he sat down. "And lock it." That gave her pause. For a moment, she considered just leaving. She wasn't employed here. She had no connections. He might be offended. She did need the work, however, rather desperately. She turned the deadbolt, solid and brass. It clicked into place with cruel finality. As she turned back around, he gestured to a chair. It was large and in red leather. She sat, obediently setting her purse down next to her. She was painfully aware of how long it would take to reach her phone, unlock it, and dial 911. He spoke, again breaking her concentration. "I must admit, I'm surprised at you."
"Oh?"
She immediately felt silly for the one-word response. Surely she could have done better. "Yes, certainly not in a bad way. The last few candidates showed themselves unable to follow instruction. They were late, or wore inappropriate attire, or were simply inobedient. HR assured me that you would be different. Based on your profile, I can see that they were right." She quivered inside at the implied praise in his words. God, why did she want his approval? She'd barely met him. Then again, everything about him so far spoke of power. Real power. Not a showy thing to be lorded over inferiors, but the ability to get things done with a word or a gesture. The sort of person who inspired real loyalty. "So, I'm afraid I'm going to talk at you for a bit, miss. Don't worry, you'll get your chance to prove yourself. I'll give you a profile of my needs and then ask you a few basic questions. Sound good?" She nodded rather than spoke, already understanding that prompt obedience was more important than eloquence. His small grin told her that she was correct. "This company, as you probably suspect, is profitable. My division in particular is very profitable. This gives me considerable latitude in my decision-making as well as hiring. I've recently had an opening in my organization. My former executive assistant left a few months ago. She did an excellent job and is greatly missed, but her reasons for leaving were perfectly understandable. In any case, her absence has created considerable stress for me. I work long hours and make key decisions. To have someone worthy beneath me is of paramount importance." She nodded again, but remained silent, understanding her place was to be passive. To be open and willing and... where were these thoughts coming from? "Given the degree of power that I have, and the success of my leadership, the board is quite tolerant of my requirements and actions. They know that they get the best out of me when I am relaxed and content. This means, to be frank, that your first and only goal at work will be to please me. Do you understand?" She nodded, but she did not understand. Or did not want to. Not yet. "Good. Are you married?" She was slightly shocked by the question. Why did it matter? She felt it required a more thorough response. No, sir. I'm not currently in a relationship either."
"Ah, I suppose it is of no importance in the end, but that's probably good.
The long hours and grueling nature of the work take a toll on external relationships. Do you mind travel?
No, I mean, truthfully, I love to travel. But business usually doesn't allow much time to see the sights.
Well, that's a plus here. You go where I go, and I always allow at least a day, if not a weekend, to enjoy the locale.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, sir.
How quickly she had adapted to calling him sir. The very idea of referring to him as an equal was repellent to her. She was below him on the hierarchy. She served him. Yes, that was how she was going to succeed at this interview. By putting herself in the correct mindset. He smiled again, and a shiver ran down her spine. She admitted to herself that she would do much for such small signs of approval. What would she do for larger ones?
You would have free time as well, although you might need to accompany me to events. Due to the moral culture in some places, a single woman traveling with a man would be regarded as highly inappropriate. Are you all right with being referred to as my girlfriend, or even wife? This would be to keep up appearances and prevent others from poaching, as it were.
To keep up the show, I'd have to put my arm around you, or on the small of your back in public. I may require you to show me minor displays of public affection as well.
Oh. Oh God. She was wet now. There was no denying it.
Briefly, her will asserted herself. Her natural instinct was to flee. No, that wasn't true. Her reasoning mind told her to escape. Her instinct, however, was to obey.
To be quite honest, sir, nothing would make me happier.
He actually chuckled at that.
Good. Please stand up.
She did, unthinking, beginning to feel herself drop away. She stayed silent.
Turn around.
She did. She heard him stand and approach her. Was he going to touch her? But no, he didn't. Let your hair down. She didn't question why she was required to have it up in the first place. She reached behind her and pulled the pins that she had carefully placed earlier. Her bun unwound. She shook her head and felt it cascade down her back. It would not be neat. She was concerned at that. He made a non-committal noise. You're quite beautiful. He was right behind her now. She hadn't heard him approach.
Thank you, sir.
It wasn't a compliment. Merely an observation. Many things are beautiful, and that is good, but truthfully not all that important to me. To me, all objects must have uses. They cannot simply look pretty. Not if you understand. His voice was harsher now. She started to breathe harder as she felt herself giving way. Oh God, what was happening? She nodded. Good, pet. I'm going to call you whatever I want. You keep referring to me as sir. Now, turn back around. She did. He was there. Just inside her personal space. I want you to tell me what you want, right now.
To please you, sir.
The words were out without thought. Rain made you wet. Gravity made you fall. She belonged to him. All were natural laws to her. He didn't respond to her comment. Lift your dress. She whimpered a little despite herself, but complied, tentatively lifting it above the knee so that he could see her silk stockings.
Don't be coy, he growled. Show me what I want to see.
This time she honestly complied, without hesitation. He could see her silky, small panties. Good, he said. This time with a smile. Soon, perhaps even tonight, I'm going to pull those off and bend you over the desk out front.
This will be a common situation. I won't give you any warning, and I won't be gentle. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Please, sir.
Please what?
Please. Please use me, sir.
If you keep being good, you'll get used all the time, in many ways, in many places. Perhaps by many people. She moaned.
He had made her moan. With words.
She stopped pretending that she had any will left and sank deeply within herself. Here, she was his.
Here, she was happy.
You can let your skirt down. She did, a little relieved, but a little disappointed. Under his gaze, she found approval and arousal in equal measure. As I was saying earlier, beauty is a wonderful thing, but objects must have uses, or they are worthless to me. A watch must tell time, a phone must ring, and a pet must suck cock.
Yes, please.
Good girl. On your knees. She dropped to her knees. It hurt a little, this position, but it felt so right. She waited, patient but eager. Unzip me and take my cock out.
She did, and again whimpered despite herself. How small her hands looked holding his member. Without thinking, she licked her lips.
Before you start, I warn you that you must swallow all of it.
Yes, sir.
If you fail to do so, and anything should spill onto your lovely face or cleavage, for example, I would not allow you to clean it. I would force you to work like that for the rest of the day.
I understand, sir.
Good. Now, show me what a good little cocksucker you are.
She wanted this, and only this. In the moment she took his cock into her mouth, she was filled by her need to please him. It pushed aside even her own arousal. For a moment, she selfishly relished him, and then licked him from base to tip, reveling in his moan and the salty taste of him. It was almost the best thing she'd ever savored. She began to work him, right hand stroking his base, left playing with his balls, mouth always moving, tongue never still, but swirling and giving and receiving. She moved slowly at first, but feeling his rhythms, she sped up, accelerating him as well. She felt the first taste of his pre-cum then, unique and different in its flavor as port was to wine. She took him as far back as she could and gagged briefly, but wouldn't admit defeat. She'd done this before. She was good at it. All of the recipients had begged for more. She loved to do it. But she didn't like to be asked. She wanted... No. Needed for it to be a demand. As she readied herself to try again, she felt his hands on her head, in her hair, tightening into fists. Oh God, it hurt when he did that. It hurt so good. She felt him forcing her down onto his cock, using her like a hole to fuck, and she reflexively opened her throat to him. It seemed like every part of her was now open to him, vulnerable and ready. He didn't need to force her now, but he kept his hands there, gripping and hurting and showing such want and need. As he fucked her mouth and throat, she met him, stroke for stroke, feeling the back of her throat bruise. Please,
she thought, as if willing it into being.
Give me your cum, sir. Please. I don't care about the money, or the job, or even if I get hurt. Just give me your cum. I'll do anything for it. Anything to please you. There. The first little squirt. And then he held her steady and groaned. Pulse after pulse of thick, salty, savory cum flowed into her mouth. She wanted to take her time and savor it, but she couldn't. There was so much. All she could do was swallow and swallow again and again. Desperate for it as a drowning man seeks air. It just kept coming. Finally, sadly, it stopped. He withdrew, harshly, and she took a moment. Closing her eyes, running the last bit of it over her tongue before sending it down her throat as well. She opened her eyes, aware of the tears glistening on her cheeks from her gagging, knowing that she must look a frightful mess. Eyeshadow running, lipstick smeared. But he looked down on her with such kindness and pride. She couldn't help but smile. I want you to clean the lipstick and cum from my cock with your tongue. Be thorough. I wouldn't want to have to discipline you on your first evening of work. As she started with her new task, he spoke again, more gently. Oh my, you are delightful, aren't you? You've been hired, that much is certain. But your evening, your training, is far from over. She couldn't hold back a smile as she imagined the future delights.